We're going to start as promised. It's actually on page 2 in the Art Scroll Siddur. The Hebrew is on the even numbers and the English is on the odd numbers, so it's page 2 and 3. And my plan is that in the coming weeks, we are going to learn through the text of the Siddur. In fact, the Gemara says that there are a few things that need constant, the Hebrew word is chizuk. There are a few things that need constant strengthening. Otherwise, if you just let them be, they'll kind of just fall by the wayside. Prayer and tefillah, even if it's something we do every day, or maybe especially because it's something that we do on a regular basis, if you're not learning new things about it, giving it new thought, discovering new ideas, asking new questions, then it can become very routine and very rote. So one of the best things we can do, not only for our learning, but for our davening, is to just look at words that probably many of us have said many times before, maybe even thought about before. Maybe we know what they mean, maybe we don't, but to try to think about them in a new way and to better understand what we're saying, and hopefully it'll help all of our tefillah become more meaningful. Some weeks we'll probably move more quickly if there's less, you know, analysis, and we'll just kind of see what's there. Some weeks we'll move more slowly. This week will be one of those weeks when we move more slowly, because it just so happens to be that the opening words of the Siddur, the first tefillah that we say, is my favorite tefillah of the day, and I have a lot to say about it. So I'm not promising we'll even get past Modeh Ani today, but it doesn't mean that we're going to do just one or two lines every week. That's just for this week. One of my rebbeim a bunch of years ago gave me a piece of advice. He said that, life is very busy. Is that an open fridge or something?
The door?
No, but it's not the same. That's not the same beep. It's a different beep.
It sounds like
the office open. Maybe it was your red light.
That's it, right? Yeah, he heard me quoting him. He's like, "You better do this right." That was it. You're right. No, he's see. He watches me all the time through the camera, keeping an eye on me. Anyway, he once gave me advice that life is very busy and can be very stressful, and trying to keep to davening and mitzvos and halacha can sometimes be burdensome. His advice was, if you start the day on the right foot and you end the day on the right foot, then it helps a lot, give you strength for the middle of the day. And then even in the ups and downs of the middle of the day, not everything goes perfectly, but if you start strong and you end strong, then it can change the feeling of your whole day, which I have found to be true for me. It's advice that I've passed on to others as well. That if you wake up right, and that means starting with Modeh Ani, and as we'll see in the coming weeks, things like washing your hands, just the first few minutes of your day are done right, with the right attitude and in the right way, then even if you get distracted by other things along the way, and then you end the day with the right way by saying Shema before you go to sleep, by saying something nice, by thinking nice thoughts, it can really kind of reframe your whole day. So I think the way that we open our eyes in the morning and the first things that we say and the first things that we think about can actually can have a major impact on our day. There's a tradition quoted from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, lived a few hundred years ago, very impactful rabbi, student of the Vilna Gaon, who used to say that the way that you say your first prayers, I don't know if you referred specifically to Modeh Ani or other prayers, but the way that you say the first prayers of the day has an impact on the entire rest of your day. Not that it should be like a pressure thing, like I better say this right, but it just shows the importance of what we say right when we wake up. In fact, you'll notice, and let's read, they're familiar probably to many, if not all of us, but let's read the opening words on page 2. Modeh Ani Lefanecha. Thank you, I thank you. I am thankful before you. I'm trying to look at the English. I gratefully thank you. But we'll go back, we're going to go back word for word and understand what it really means. Melechai v'kayam, living and existing king, shechazarta b'nishmasi b'chemla, that you have returned to me, in me, my soul, with mercy and compassion, rabba emunasecha, great is your faith. We're going to go back again word for word and understand the deeper meanings of this. One thing you'll notice is that even though this is the first prayer of the day, it does not have, what does it seem to be missing? Doesn't have God's name. And when we say before you and we talk to you, which firstly is just an amazing thing in general, that we use the word you, to, like we say Baruch Atah Hashem. As if, we're supposed to be able to picture like you're talking to a person. I can say you because you're in front of me or you're next to me. We actually speak to God saying you, which is an incredible thing that we have the even the right to say that. But here we don't have Hashem's name, and the Mishneh Berurah writes that the reason that Moed Ani doesn't have Hashem's name is so that you can say it right when you wake up, because you're not supposed to utter God's name until you've washed Negel Vasser, until you've washed your hands three times on each hand, alternating. And we want to say Moed Ani right when we wake up. As soon as our eyes are open, we want to say thank you. We don't want even minutes or seconds to pass by where we're alive again and we haven't yet thanked Hashem for giving us our life back, for returning our soul. And therefore, it's a prayer without God's name so that we can say it right away. We're not supposed to say any other prayers before we wash our hands, but Moed Ani we're allowed to say. Where does Moed Ani come from? We'll give a little historical background before we look back at the words. So it's not, relative to where other things in our liturgy come from, it's not that old. It's about 400 or 500 years old, which is pretty old. But it doesn't go back to the, it's nowhere in Tanakh. It's not even anywhere in the Gemara. It's not mentioned explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch, which was written in the 1500s. It's usually dated, I think, at least from what I found, the original source comes from a book called Seder Hayom, which is the order of a day. It was written by a Kabbalist in Tzfat, Rav Moshe ben Machir. And he writes in his order of the day, well, the first thing you should say when you wake up in the morning is, and he wrote this text, this one line, Moed Ani Lefanecha, and it really caught on and was quoted by the Magen Avraham and then by the Mishneh Berurah and many of our main halachic decisors, and it became a part of traditional Judaism for Jews of all types and stripes. Right?
Like that, types and stripes.
Types and stripes, yeah. Everyone says, apparently at the beginning it caught on more with Sephardim and Kabbalists. It took a little while till it caught on with Ashkenazim, but I think now everyone says Moed Ani when they wake up in the morning. Do you have a question?
No, I'm just saying it went viral.
It went viral, yeah, the original viral. That's what they say. This is the first thing that went viral, or one of the first things that went viral. There's a discussion, a technical point in the poskim as to whether, we see the word Moed Ani is in the, see the way, we'll take one step back, in Hebrew, we have the verbs that we use and the nouns and adjectives are masculine and feminine. But often, if you have a group, let's say, of men and women, so the masculine is used to describe, the masculine is also the gender neutral way of describing it. But here we say Moed Ani, which is really technically is Lashon Zachar, it's the masculine. So there are some who say that for women, they're supposed to say Moda Ani. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that a woman should say Moda Ani so that it's grammatically correct, and others are of the opinion that that Moda Ani is just the universal text, and Moda is really gender neutral. It's not just masculine. It can apply to men and to women. Anyone here ever say Moda Ani? I haven't. But... No? Okay, Moda Ani. Can't go wrong. I'm just throwing that out as an option. If you hear it, don't yell at the person. What they're saying is legitimate. I want to read something beautiful. So I have a couple of books with commentaries on the Siddur that I've learned or that I'm looking at again. This is a book called Sefer Olas Tamid. It's written by someone named Rav Shmuel Hominer. I think he lived in the 1800s. I'm not sure. I couldn't find that much about him. I want to read you a little paragraph that he uses to introduce Moed Ani that I think frames it in a very interesting way, and then go back into the words of it. He writes, Re'ei Achi, Shelo yetze mipicha hoda'a zu mibli simas lev. Listen, my brother. That's so he. Bro. I guess he. This is where bro comes from. Listen, bro. This thanks, this gratitude that you express in the morning shouldn't come out of your mouth without paying attention with your heart. Kimitzvas anashim milumada. Just the way people do things very routinely. Like you get dressed in the morning without thinking much. You can do that without too much thought. It's a routine. It's habit. Don't let Moed Ani just be part of your morning routine that you say without thought. Mipnei shekachor galta mikatnuscha, because this is how you've been raised since you were a little child, just to say Moed Ani first thing. Ela me'umek halev, it should come from the depths of your heart. Ubiyachar impicha, together with the words of your mouth. Titein bazeh shevach vehoda'a al ne'aman asol yisala, you should give praise and thanks to Hashem. Shelo ikev nishmascha biado, that he didn't withhold your soul from you, that he didn't keep your soul, v'lo ha'isazu mita amitit, and this wasn't, to translate early, and you didn't die in your sleep, chas v'shalom, God forbid that should happen, and it should be an expression of true thanks from the bottom of your heart that God has given you your soul again, and that he's entrusting you with a new day. On a very simple level, that's what we're doing when we say Moed Ani. The Gemara says that the Gemara has a list of things in this world that are a small taste of something much bigger. So for example, the Gemara says that when you taste the taste of honey, the sweetness of honey, it's 1/60th of the flavor of the manna that fell in the desert. Or when you observe Shabbos, that's a small taste of Olam Haba, of the world to come. So one of the things the Gemara says is that sleeping is like 1/60th of death. It's actually a small form of death. Your soul separates from your body the way that it does when you die, just in a very small way. Small but not insignificant. And therefore the fact that Hashem returned our soul to us is almost like a rebirth. He's given us a new day of life, and we shouldn't take that for granted, even if we're used to it, because it's happened every day until now for us. But that doesn't mean that it will always happen forever. In fact, if you, somebody pointed out that when the Mishnah, not to be too depressing, but when the Mishnah uses the word for a coffin, the word that the Mishnah uses is mitah, with a tet, which means bed. And even in the Siddur in Shemona Esrei, when we're talking about the resurrection of the dead, we refer to the dead as Yishenei Afar, those who are sleeping in the dust. So they're in the earth. So there are many comparisons between sleeping and death, and that what doesn't mean every night when you go to sleep you should freak out. It's a natural thing, obviously, but it does mean when you wake up in the morning, you should feel that that there's no guarantees, and that feeling of appreciation and gratitude. It's also interesting because most of our davening, not all, we'll see as we go through the Siddur, but most of our davening is in the plural. Even when we ask for things, even when we say thank you, think about the Shemona Esrei. Everything we say is in the plural, like Rifa'enu, heal us, Barech Aleinu, bless us, Modim Anachnu Lach, we are thankful to you. We always daven as a team, as a group. We daven for each other and with each other. But Modeh Ani, our first prayer of the morning, is in singular. It's just Ani. This is from me to God. And every person has to say it, and it's personal and it's individual. I am thanking God that he returned my soul to me. Okay, I told you, I warned anyone who came late, I warned in advance that we weren't going to get much past the first line or two tonight. We're going to spend some time on Modeh Ani. Modeh, before we even get to Ani, let's talk about Modeh a little bit. Modeh, what is the word? It translates Modeh as gratefully, I'm grateful. Modeh is like from the word Todah, thank you, from the same root. The truth is that it doesn't really mean, or it doesn't only mean, thank you. Anyone know what else does the word modeh mean? Meaning what? What's hoda'a? Yes. Very good, right? To confess or to admit. Vidui. We say on Yom Kippur, we say vidui from the same root, confession. The Mishnah and the Gemara use this all the time. The Mishnah talks about, let's say two people are arguing and I say you owe me $100 and you say that you owe me, that I owe you, I say you owe me $100 and you say you owe me $50. So that's called modeh b'miktzat. You're admitting to some of it. You're not admitting to the whole thing. You're denying half of it, but you're admitting, you're confessing to some of it. Whenever the Mishnah says the word modeh, it almost always means to admit. What's the connection between admitting or confessing and thank you? So the explanation is that when I thank you, every thank you is really it's a confession.
It's an admission that you did something.
It's exactly. It's an admission that you did something for me, and it's an admission that I'm indebted to you, which is why sometimes it's uncomfortable to say thank you. And I mentioned this, but I didn't discuss it in depth. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more right now, but when we were talking about saying thank you and appreciation in Drasha a couple weeks ago, last week, I don't know, yesterday, who knows, but... And I mentioned sometimes it's hardest even to say thank you to those closest to us. You know, somebody on the street you're never going to see again, and he does something nice, you'll say, really, oh, thank you so much, I really appreciate that, because who cares, I don't really feel indebted to him because I'm never going to see him again, just walk on. But when it's your spouse or your parents or your kids, and you have to say a really nice thank you so much, I really appreciate that you went out of your way, that's like basically what you're saying in other words, and maybe partially what they're hearing is, I owe you one, next time I'll do this for you. And who wants to say that? Or what you're saying, or maybe it's making yourself vulnerable. You're saying, thank you so much. I couldn't have done this without you. It's some form of admission or confession or vulnerability. I'm giving you something, or I'm expressing that I owe you something. And therefore, sometimes it can be something that's difficult to say. I'm not deserving of this. Thank you. It means you did something for me that it wasn't coming to me. It wasn't something you owed me. It's now I owe you. Now I'm indebted to you, and you gave me something extra that I didn't necessarily deserve. The first time that we see the word, I believe, the form of this word, hoda'ah, in the Torah, we've mentioned this before as well, I think, the Medrash says that the first person, it's a funny expression of the Medrash, says the first person who ever said a real thank you was? It's in his name?
Abraham?
No, so that's what you'd think it would be, Noach or Abraham or Yitzchak. Goes all the way to? Nope, that's
Leah.
Farther.
Leah.
Yes, that it was Leah. Leah was the first one who said thank you because when she had a son Yehuda, her fourth son was Yehuda. And where does the name Yehuda come from?
Hodah.
Hodah. It says Hapam Ode'es Hashem. This time I'm going to say thank you to. Oh, that's when I said this. My son's middle name is Yehuda. Said this. I think I said this briefly at his bris a few months ago. I haven't slept much since then, so that's why I don't remember anything I've said really since then. But Hapam Ode'es Hashem. Leah said, "This time I'm going to say thank you to Hashem." And the questions are like, firstly, what do you mean this time? It's her fourth kid. She didn't say thank you the first three times. And also, what about Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Noach, Sarah, Rivka, Rachav, Leah? None of them ever said thank you. So the explanation that some gives is that this is the first time somebody said thank you with this word, Yehuda or Todah or Modeh or Vidui, because what Leah, her special thank you that she gave for Yehuda was that Leah had had a prophecy, a very special woman, and she had a prophecy that Yaakov, her husband, was going to have 12 sons. She did math and figured, well, he has four wives. He's going to have 12 sons. We'll probably each have three. So when her first three sons were born, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, of course, I'm sure she said thank you to Hashem. But it was a thank you of like, it was coming to me. I expected this. Not that Hashem owed her, but it was like she knew it was coming. And then when she had a fourth son and she realized she was getting something extra, somebody else wasn't going to have three sons. Rachel only had two. Leah ended up having six. But this was the one where she noticed that she's something that she didn't expect or that she didn't know was coming or that she didn't feel she deserved, something extra. That's the first time that someone said a real thank you, because a real thank you isn't just, oh, thank you, like, you know, but you owed it to me. A real thank you is, wow, thank you so much. I didn't deserve this. You're giving me something extra. I owe you. This is above and beyond. Imagine if every time we said thank you, we said it like that. It's hard to do. But that's what we should be thinking when we say Modeh Ani every morning. We should be saying to Hashem, or thinking, what did I do to deserve another day of life? There are some people who weren't granted another day of life, or who lost their lives long ago. And I'm not, you know, Hashem, this isn't something I necessarily deserve, and I shouldn't assume that it's coming to me, that every single day I'm just going to get my soul back and get another day and another day. And if we could have a little bit of that feeling when we say, Modeh Ani. Interesting, some of the commentaries point out that grammatically, am I talking too much or too fast? Anyone have any questions? Thoughts? No? Okay. Some of the commentaries point out that really grammatically, we shouldn't be saying modeh ani. It would be more, grammatically, we should be saying ani modeh. I'm thankful. Not thankful am I this morning. We like wake up in British accents. Like we could just say ani modeh, I am thankful. So I don't know if this is the true reason why the Seder Hayom wrote it in this way, but a nice idea that some of the commentaries say is that we're not going to start our day with the word ani. We start our day already thinking about ani. We probably go to sleep thinking about me and wake up thinking about me, and the first word that we utter every day shouldn't be me. I am grateful. It's all about me. We say ani comes up enough, and the rest of we say, thankful am I that you returned my soul to me. I find my, you know, me, I'm in this prayer a lot, but our first word should be thank you, not I am thankful. Just to sort of frame our day. There's a story that about the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that somebody once sent him a letter. He was having all kinds of difficulties in life, and he wrote a whole letter saying, I've tried to do this and it didn't work out, I tried to do that, I've davened, this person did this to me, I'm doing this, I've tried this, please help me. And Lubavitcher Rebbe sent him the letter back without any words. All he did was he circled every time the letter said I. And the guy realized the message was, I just wrote a letter and I wrote the I like 25 times. And the message he got from Lubavitcher Rebbe is, stop worrying about I, stop worrying about yourself so much, give to other people, find ways to help other people, and some of your problems will be solved. So we're not going to start our day with the word ani. We start our day with the word modeh. We'll get to ani, second word. So who would have thought? You say modeh ani every morning and each word really counts and has meaning. Lifanecha. Are you ready for word three? Yes.
Modeh.
Yeah.
It also seems significant that it's like an adjective. Because you could say...
Well, it's really, it's a verb.
Oh, okay.
Modeh, yeah, modeh is it's a verb form. Modeh, you're right, it's translated as an adjective.
In one word, modeh is ani omer toda.
What?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Modeh
like
is ani.
Right, right, it's I am, thank, right, right. Really, the translation, if we were, the English, I assume the way, I don't know where they've got the word gratefully, is that I just added that in to make it sound nicer. I thank you, modeh ani, is, right. But it's thank in a, it's a verb. Okay, sorry. Sorry about that. Modeh ani lefanecha. That's interesting too. It should say, and it's not a great translation. I'm not going to, sorry. I hope no one from Artscroll listens to this recording. Yeah, it should be, modeh ani lecha. Oh, thank you, right. It's always good to have one Israeli. But if I say something that makes no sense, then don't correct it. Yeah.
It makes sense if you say, I give thanks before. I surrender.
Oh, interesting. Okay, right. Before, but before you. Okay, but it changes the meaning. Meaning, I'll contrast it. In Shemona Esrei, when we get up to the blessing of thanks in the Amidah, we say, Modim anachnu lach. I'm thankful, or we are thankful, to you.
Why is it feminine?
Well, yeah, good question. Yeah, discussion for another time. The masculine and feminine names of God, right. No, because many times in davening we describe it in masculine terms also. I'm not sure why specifically there. Sometimes it's just grammatical, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Well, nothing's by accident. Well, grammatical is not an accident, but okay. We'll think about it. Modim anachnu lach. We are thankful to you. So here it really should say modeh ani lach or lecha. I am thankful to you, but it means I am thankful before you. In other words, one of the first things we want to think about in our day also is I'm not just submitting or sending a letter of thank you to God, but I'm thankful before, even when I wake up and I'm yawning and rubbing, whatever, I'm before God. That's part of my thanks. Part of my thanks is that I appreciate that I'm grateful that not only do I have another day, but I have another day to spend before God on a mission from God. He's given me my soul and modeh ani lefanecha. I'm thankful before him. And maybe that's even a, it's almost like a qualifier or of ani. Like, I am thankful, but who's thankful? The me that stands before you. I'm not just me off somewhere, but ani lefanecha. It's part of who I am. That's what we want to remind ourselves every day, that our life is lived lefanecha. Not just to God, but in front of God, before God, or with God. So we say, modeh ani lefanecha, melech chai v'kayam. Living and eternal king. Chai, living, and kayam means like exists, in existence. Also, a lengthy way, I mean, I understand we don't want to say Hashem's name, so we don't want it to say like Ad Hashem, but we could just say modeh ani lefanecha melech, or just modeh ani lefanecha, you, we know who you're talking to. Modeh ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam. Why do we have this lengthy way of describing the living and eternal king? So, a couple thoughts, and I'm happy to hear your own if you have to add as well. I have three explanations that I read, heard, thought of, whatever, on this phrase. Firstly, it's there to remind us, Melech Chai V'Kayam is a description that God, we don't believe in a God that is just, you know, some old man with a long beard who sits on a throne high up in the sky and is busy with his angels and thrones and stuff like that. But he's a God that is living with us, existing with us, part of our lives. And even if we wake up, with concerns or worries or stresses about the day ahead, we reassure ourselves right away, Hashem is chai v'kayam. He's alive and well and with us and a part of our lives and rooting for us and helping us and supporting us. And we can be assured that he will be with us throughout our day. It's also, maybe not the flip side, but another side of this is there's a Gemara that says, I forgot where the Gemara is, but there's a Gemara that says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the great Tanoim, was on his deathbed, and his students came to him, and they said, Rebbe, can you give us a blessing? This is like in your last moments. So the blessing he gave them is, he said, I bless you that your fear of God should be as great as your fear of man. And they were very disappointed. They were like expecting, like, we bless you that you should like become prophets, or that you should have many kids, or that you should whatever, have, you know, be the most brilliant people in the world. I bless you that your fear of man should, or, you know, that your fear of God should be as great as your fear of men. They said, that's all. And he said, basically, like, you know, halavai, it should be that. That's no small feat. Because if you think about it, most of us as human beings, we're generally a lot more concerned and worried with what people around us think of us and how they judge us and what they perceive of us than we are with the way Hashem thinks of us. We would never do something silly or wrong if somebody's watching because we're worried what the person near us is going to think of us. So imagine if every time we acted, even if we were in private or even if someone wouldn't know, we perceived that Hashem was watching us. Like, not in a scary way, maybe fear is not, but an awareness that Hashem is there as, and he can see as well or better than anyone around me can see. And maybe that's also a reminder in the morning. Melech Chai V'Kayam. Don't think that God is just hiding out somewhere. He's alive. He's with you. Even if you're alone, he's there, you know, he's there with you to help you, but also watching you and expecting you to act properly. Third explanation is, our final explanation for these words, Melech Chai V'Kayam, is a reminder that, right in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, King David says, Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. God neither slumbers nor sleeps, the guardian of Israel. That we remind ourselves when we wake up. You know, you ever like fall asleep in like, I don't know, a movie or something, and you wake up, you think you saw it, but you because you passed out for like an hour, and you thought, oh, I wasn't sleeping, I saw it. And then people are talking about the movie, and you're like, I didn't see it. I don't remember any of this. So, you know, you can imagine like we wake up in the morning and we think, I was sleeping, my wife was sleeping, my kids were not sleeping, but in this pretend story, my kids were sleeping, and we remind ourselves in the morning, Hashem was not sleeping. Hashem was wide awake, so to speak, and making sure the world was still functioning properly, and taking care of us even when we're sleeping, and taking care of the other parts of the world that aren't sleeping, that it's daytime. And that's what we mean, Melech Chai V'Kayam. This is a God who's alive and well 24/7. And we might sleep and take breaks, but Hashem never does. I'm going to move a little quickly. Is it okay if we go for a couple? If anyone needs to run, I said I would end by round 8, but I started a little late. Can I have 5 more minutes? That's okay. Yes?
Yeah. Can it be read as a smichut, a king of life and existence?
King of life. Grammatically, I'm not sure that would be correct. Melech Chai. I think the Chai is a description of the Melech. Melech. Like at the end of Yishtabach, we say Melech Chai Olamim. There it's different. But here, Melech Chai, I think the Chai. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I'm not sure grammatically that can fit. Should we pause here and finish this next week? Or?
No.
No, finish Modani? Yeah. Okay, let's finish Modani. Okay. Because I have a couple more thoughts. Rabbi Munasecha. We'll go to Rebbe Shechazarta Binish Masi Bechemla. You have returned to me, my soul, with mercy, with compassion. That, again, is like we said before, the feeling of Modani should be, this is not something I deserve or I'm owed. In fact, if Hashem would, the Zohar is quoted as saying in the Kabbalah, that it's as if, that if Hashem would weigh our good deeds and bad deeds each night and based on that, decide if we deserve our soul for another day, most of us wouldn't have made it this far. So clearly, we acknowledge that the act of Hashem returning our soul to us is an act of mercy, of compassion. Not something we deserve, not something we earn, but Hashem is gifting us with another day of life. Also, it says, Shechazarta bi nishmati. God is putting back into me my soul. Also, just interesting to, maybe it's simple, but just to realize that my soul, the soul, it's my soul. It's nobody else's soul. It's my soul. It's me. I get the same soul that's got everything I did as a teenager, everything I did as a young adult, that's all part of my soul. I mean, maybe I did tshuva, maybe I changed one way or the other, but that's the soul that's been taken from me each night, partially, and returned to me each morning, and that's who I am. Rabba emunasecha. It's a tough phrase to translate, actually. Rabba emunasecha. Great is your, abundant is your faithfulness. Abundant is your faith. What does this mean? What do you think? Who wants to go out on a limb? What do you think about when you say these words? Rabba emunasecha.
Believes in us.
He believes in us, right. So it's an interesting thing, because usually when we use the word emuna, faith, it's us believing in God. But here we're saying great is your faith. Emunasecha. We're not saying great is our faith. We just got our soul back. What's our faith? We got Rabba emunasecha. Great. What does it mean? Great is your faith. It's God's faith in us. Because if he didn't believe that we were going to use our, if he didn't trust us to use our souls to do positive things today, then he wouldn't give it back. So he's giving, every time Hashem returns your soul, every morning you wake up, that's Hashem saying, I have faith in you, that you can do good, you can do even better, you can grow, you can contribute. I'm giving you another day because the world needs you for another day to do good things. That's what we're supposed to think about first thing in the day, that the fact that we woke up in the morning represents that God has faith in us. There's a line, a famous line from Rav Tzadok HaKohen that he writes, "Kesheim she'adam tzarich lehamin b'Hashem yisbarach," the same way that a person needs to believe in God, "kach tzarich achar kach lehamin b'atzmo." After that, he also needs to believe in himself. We believe in God, and then we have to also believe that if we truly believe in God, then we have to believe that God put us here for some reason. And then if God put us here for some reason, it's because we have a job to do, and we have the capabilities to do it. And then we have a mission. Every day we're giving our soul back, it's because God has faith in us to use it properly. Yes?
So I don't know Hebrew. So you switch to plural. Is Rabba Munatecha singular? Like, is it faith in me or is it faith in us?
It doesn't specify. I didn't mean to switch to plural. If I did, that was by accident. Literally translated, it means great is your faith. It doesn't say in anyone. Okay. It just says your faith. Okay. But I would assume that since the whole prayer is in singular, that it's great is your faith in me.
Right.
That you're trusting me with my soul for another day to do good things. Some say that, read it, even though it's that actually seems to be the simplest explanation, but some say that it is referring to our faith in God. What type of faith in God are we expressing at this time of the day? So some say that one of the opinions in the Midrash is that it's expressing our faith in Tchiyas HaMesim, resurrection of the dead. One of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith is that we believe that one day God will bring back the dead to life. And if you are having trouble believing that, it happens every morning to us on a smaller scale. We're not clinically dead and then brought back to life, but on a smaller scale, we're sleeping and we're brought back to life. So we're used to that, so we don't think of it as like miraculous because it happens to us every day. But if you wake up and really contemplate what just happened to you, that your soul left your body and then was returned to you, so you wake up and say, Rabba munasecha, I have all the faith in the world, Hashem. Now I really believe that you'll bring the dead back to life because you just did it to me. And that's going to be the same thing, just obviously in a bigger and grander way. I want to conclude with two short readings, and then we'll call it a night. I read a very interesting article a few years ago, and I looked for it and found it again today, written by Rabbi Usher Brander, who's a rabbi in Los Angeles. He wrote an article on Modani, and two of my favorite parts are. I'll start with the second one. He tells a story. I have no way of verifying this, and he didn't quote a source, so I don't know if it's true. And I already see Dr. Goldstein like staring me down because this is going to be medically inaccurate. And he always yells at me when I say medically inaccurate things. So don't kill the messenger. But this is a story that he told. In a United States convention of neurologists from all over the world, a main topic was the phenomenon of people fainting upon getting up from bed. Is that a common thing that happens? Sure. Thank you. Correct. Professor Linda McMarin of Great Britain gave a lengthy speech regarding her study on this issue. She elaborated that after many years of study and investigation on this subject, she came to the conclusion that the fainting is caused by the sharp transfer between laying down and standing up. Professor McMarin said that it takes 12 seconds for the blood to flow from the feet to the brain. But when a person quickly stands up upon waking up, the blood gets thrown to the brain too quickly, and the result is fainting. She suggested that each person, even one that does not have a tendency to faint, upon waking up, should sit on the bed and count slowly till 12 to avoid dizziness, weakness, and or fainting. This was not, I remember the first time I read this, it was like very bad for me because I wake up and I was like, I can't, I'm going to faint if I get up too quick. I'm going to go back to sleep. So it was not good. I have to just get up right away. If I faint, I'll faint. But otherwise, yeah, there you go. Okay. Her speech was rewarded with loud applause and enthusiastic feedbacks. Another professor, a Jewish religious man, asked permission to speak. By us, the Jews, there's a tradition to say a prayer of thanks to the creator of the world for meriting us to wake up healthy and whole. The prayer is said immediately upon waking up while one is still on the bed and sitting down. There are 12 words in this prayer. And if one regulates himself to say it slowly with concentration, it takes exactly 12 seconds to say it. 12 words in 12 seconds. He said the prayer slowly in Hebrew, Modani l'fanacha melachai v'kayam, she'chazarta b'nishmati b'chemla rabba munatacha. The auditorium burst into a standing applause that roared throughout the auditorium. This time it was for the creator of the world. So that's what we wake up. And before, even if whether physically that is completely accurate or not, but I think the idea is before you even get on your feet, before you jump up to get busy with whatever you get busy with, take 12 seconds to pause and say Moda Ani, and then to begin your day. Last short reading, one short paragraph. And this is also quoted in that same article from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he writes, if we didn't sleep, there would be no tomorrow. Life would be a single seamless today. Our every thought and deed would be an outgrowth of all of our previous thoughts and deeds. There would be no beginnings in our lives, for the very concept of a new beginning would be alien to us. Sleep means that we have the capacity to not only improve, but also transcend ourselves, to open a new chapter in life that is neither predicted nor enabled by what we did and were up until now, to free ourselves of yesterday's constraints and build a new, recreated self. And that's the last thing I'll mention about Modeh Ani, is that in Judaism, in our calendar, in our days, we're full of opportunities for new beginnings. In a way, I think that's what Shabbos is. Even though Shabbos is really the end of the week, it's also the beginning of new opportunities, the beginning of a new week. Rosh Chodesh, like, why do we make such a big deal at the beginning of the month? And who cares about the beginning of the month? I think the idea is once a month you have a chance to, and even there are some who have a tradition on that on the day before Rosh Chodesh, it's called Yom Kippur Katan, they fast and they say extra prayers. It's almost like a way to like clean the slate. It's a new month. Whoever you were last month, you have the opportunity to be a new person. Obviously on a bigger scale, Rosh Hashanah, we go to the, even men, we go to the mikvah and we wear white and we feel like there's an opportunity for newness. It's something that we, that's very important, and we realize is an important part of growing as a person and religiously to be able to sometimes start fresh with a feeling of freshness. And in a way, in a smaller way, I think that's what we do every morning. We wake up and we say, whatever I messed up yesterday, whatever I messed up last week, whatever I'm trying, Modani Lefanacha Hashem, you gave me my soul again. You gifted me my soul again on this new day. I have a new opportunity, a new chance to start fresh, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. And that's where we'll pick up next week with the second line of the sitter. Thanks for coming. Thank you.